tefillah machshavas, a few arayonos relating to Tisha B'Av. Number, let me just start with a very short word that my uncle, I spoke to my uncle last night, two nights ago, Dov, you know my uncle, Dov Dolvin, so I speak to him, I spoke, he's Yishatchan?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay. So my uncle, I was speaking to him, he calls me once a week. My uncle from Eretz Yisrael, he used to live in Switzerland, now he lives in Eretz Yisrael, so I speak to him every so often, so he told me a good var, I like this var, he told me that it just relates a little bit to the 9 days, 3 weeks, not very much, but there are three places in Tanakh where we find that something was purchased in Eretz Yisrael, three pieces of land. Number one was Avraham Avinu, he purchased the Me'oras Machpelah for Arba Meo Shekel Kasef Oiver Lasaicher. I read a book and he made a calculation, he figured $3 million. That was a long time ago, maybe takes even more. Okay, that book was written at least 10 years ago, so who knows, maybe now it's more than at least $3 million. He was a rich man, I don't know how he got $3 million.
Came with air rights.
$3 million. The next piece was the land Yaakov Avinu purchased, Shechem. Rabbi Sai, we're having a problem again when we're talking. Rabbi Sai, he purchased Shechem, B'meya Kisita. Rashi there says, Meya Kisita means bitcoins. Big, good currency, the best.
Bitcoins.
Not bitcoins. Bitcoin is a shady business.
Bitcoins
is the most shady business you can imagine. Okay, it's a big problem. All the illegal activity today is being done with bitcoins. Okay, so good coins, b'meya kesita, good stuff. Okay, good. And what is Shechem? So he purchased Shechem. So some say that Shechem, if you look at the Mefarshim, the area that he purchased, I don't know. He told me this is from the Chassam Sefer, is the property, the area in Eretz Yisrael that is Har Grizim and Har Evel. Is that true today? Shechem is in the vicinity.
Shechem is actually between Har Grizim.
Oh, okay. So very good. So Shechem is between right smack and between Har Grizim and Har Evel. The third piece of land, everyone knows, is David. David purchased from Aravna Hayavusi. He got Aravna Hayavusi 50 shkolin. How much did he pay? I forgot, 50 shkolin? What did he buy? He told them to buy. He told the people, but he didn't say what he bought. He just said buy land. He didn't say a specific piece of land. Purchase Aravna, okay, but these are the early, that's right, part of the Churban. When he was telling them to buy, that was part of the Churban. Three pieces of land were purchased with money. So the Chassam Sefer says, what is the significance that the Torah, that was Megala to us, that Dafka, these three things are purchased with good, hard, good currency, good, the best, the real deal. They correspond to B'shloish Advarim Ha'olam Oymed Ala Torah V'al Ha'avoida V'al Gemilas Chassadim. Torah is Yaakov. Yaakov was an ish tam yoshev aholim tidin emes liyakov emes is Torah emes kseiv yal timkar is Torah. What happened at Har Grizim and Har Evel and Shechem? What happened in between Har Grizim was the oath Klal Yisrael was makabel with a shvua to be mekayim kol ha Torah kula. It was a bris. Look at Rashi in Parsha. I don't know which Parsha it is. Parsha the Ekev. You know, later the bris on the Tzavim. Go up to Har Grizim and Har Evel. There was a bris. There was a new covenant forged on Har Grizim and Har Evel that Klal Yisrael will be faithful to the fulfillment of the Torah. What does the Avraham, where he purchased? Ma'oras Machpelah. Chazal say burial is the highest form of Gemilas Chasadim. Why? It's Chesed Shel Emes. The dead is not coming back to thank you for the kindness that you have done for him. And what's the third? The third is David. He purchased the base Hamigdash. That is Avoida. So La Toida V'Al Avoida V'Al Gemilas Chasadim. The Torah is being Megala to us is you got to be no pain, no gain. You got to earn it. You got to earn it. You got to buy it. There are no handouts. There are no handouts when it comes to Toida Avoida Gemilas Chasadim. It only comes with an acquisition, with a kinyan, with paying hard-earned sweat, blood money. Money that has been earned honestly by these three individuals that was used, all these different events. Chazal emphasized that the money that was used was money that was honest, earned money to acquire a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, in order to establish Torah of the Avodu Gemilas Chasadim Bo'aretz in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and that's a Musa Haskel Avoda of Tishvav, where we focus on Almo of the Ha'aretz, Al Ozvames Torasi. Torasi includes the mission of the Torah, which is Kolel Al Torah Avoda Gemilas Chasadim. To take back the land, we have to be honest people. In fact, one of the kinas Ohali, the kina Ohali, about my tent has been destroyed. In one of the stanzas of that kina, it says, you know why my tent has been destroyed? Ba'avoin betza. It's due to the sin of illicit gain. Due to the sin of illicit gain, my ohel has been destroyed, my stars have been dimmed, and I have been cast down among the nations. They've taunted me. It's a chil Hashem. It's like speaking mamash to start our generation. Is that when a person is nichshol in gezel, that causes the light, the shine of the Jewish people to be dimmed in the eyes of the Ummah Yisraelam, and they look at us and they say, "What kind of people are you? Where do you come to steal other people's money?" When it comes to Eretz Yisrael to take back the land, we have to, in order, the Musa Haskel is to be people of integrity, people who are honest, and thus we can once again reacquire the Torah of the Avodah Gemilas Chasadim of Eretz Yisrael. That is the Vart from the Chasam Sofer. Let's go to another Vart. This Vart is rooted in the words of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Soloveitchik, let me give you a little Hagdama. How many kinois are there in the Nusach Ashkenaz? 45. In the olden days, before Art Scroll, you had to count yourself. But now they count for us. There are exactly...
Now they're numbered.
They're numbered. There are 45 kinois. Tisha B'Av is traditionally. The Holocaust, they also give it a number, 46, 47, 48. They give three kinois of the Holocaust from various people. But traditionally, for the last 400 years at least, Nusach Ashkenaz has a collection of 45 kinois. We start at night. We say five of them at night. Not all of them. It depends on Mitzvah Shabbos. So there's one that's only said when it's Mitzvah Shabbos. So if one really omit. And Shomrayin is repeated twice. So if you look in the kinois, the village is 46. But we don't really count 46 because one is repeated twice. Shomrayin is repeated twice. So we only count that as one. So, but in total, we have 45 unique kinois. What is the significance of the number 45? Oh, that's right. Very good. But besides that, I want to first a little bit about. There are 45 stones, layers of stones in the Kaisel Hamaravi. When Pascha Shini Mikaisel Hamaravi, there are 45. Start from underground, going all the way up to the top.
You mean levels?
Levels, layers of stone. Some were eaten very recently, only like 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Some are very recent. Saif called Saif, today when you go to the Kasim HaRavi, you can count, and you can't have to go down to the old below ground, 45. It's not a coincidence that there are 45 layers of stones on the Kasim HaRavi. Why 45? Al Ma of the Haaretz. Ma is 45. Why was the earth destroyed? Why? Al Ozvam es Torasi. When else do we use the word moss? So here we enter into Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik is a very major theme. A major theme of Rav Soloveitchik is to equate Pesach to Tisha B'Av. We all know that the day of the week in which the first night of Pesach falls is the same night of the week when Tisha B'Av will fall, at Bash.
By the way, one of the kinnis is
Mitzayim Mitzayim Mitzrayim. Excellent. So we contrast the difference of Mitzayim Mitzrayim Mitzayim Mitzrayim. This is a kinnis. It's mamash kinnis. Rav Soloveitchik, he really picks up upon this and he says there's a direct relationship between these two things. What is the highlight of? I'm adding this. Doesn't say this. What is the highlight of Pesach? Ma nishtano halayla hazemi kol halelos. The whole Haggadah is built upon Ma Nishtana. Tisha B'Av is Al Ma of the Haaretz. Both Tisha B'Av and Pesach are rooted in the word Ma. Ma Nishtana and Al Ma of the Haaretz, the same thing. Now, what he likes to say is a beautiful idea. It's a beautiful idea which he tries to read into a kina. It's a line in the kina that says it is very novel what he says, and I think it requires much more investigation, research. He holds murdik. He holds that just like on Pesach, once we have established this connection between these two festivals, once on Pesach there is a din of sipur yitzias Mitzrayim, where the father sits around the table with his children, he tells them, he's misaper, the garta levincha bayomuhu leimar, our salvation is of the opinion that is the din of sipur yitzias Yerushalayim to the children. Every parent has an obligation to relate to the child the significance of the Churban, what we have lost, what we lost with the Beis HaMikdash. There is a din of Sibor. No, there's a din of Sibor relating to your children what happened at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They should appreciate the loss. Okay, that's a very novel idea. Because we would think, Hasulam of Sekes, you know, you're not allowed to sit in groups. You have to go alone. I sit here, you sit there, there should not be a din zimun. When it comes to the eating part, there should not, you have to be separate apart. But when it comes to being masber, to relating the events, there's a mesoira. You have to give over to the next generation what has been lost in the previous generation. It's an amazing concept that really changes the dynamics of Tisha B'Av. It's because how can the young generation really appreciate what was lost? You need the older generation to hand over what we had, what was lost, and how you should mourn. You just don't expect a new generation in the vacuum to figure it all out. It's not going to happen. They're going to be lost.
In many places they have, I know where I've been in a few places, someone who survived.
Oh, survivor. Before.
We'll tell
stories. Exactly. So that's really a fulfillment of this concept that he believes to be essential. Essential. Everyone, you can't learn a Haggadah, learn any Sefer Machshav on Pesach, and now walk away that the theme of Pesach is the Garta Levincha, Sibur, to the Bnei Bayis. It's the din of the Bayis, the family. You know, you don't send your children away. You know, someone said to me, when it comes to Chinuch, why do you send your children to Yeshiva? The Torah said you should teach the children. The Torah told you, Vishinantam Livonecha. The mitzvah is on you. You, the father. You should homeschool your children. Quit your job, rob a bank, have enough money to live the rest of your life, and homeschool your children. It's your mitzvah. So what does the father say? They can do it better in the yeshiva. What can I already do? I'm not such a big learner, I'm not a lamdan. I can't do this. A yeshiva! Professionals! They hire rebbeim, they hire anhol, they chaveim, there's a whole system. It's a big business, it's an industry. You send your kid to yeshiva. Okay, so if I'm not doing myself. Say the hagar. Vigarta levincha bayoy mahu leimar. Why don't you send your child across the street to this fellow? He has a much better seder than you do. Across the street, your neighbor across the street, he gives his children prizes. He's a fantastic Baal Masbir. He's dynamic. He has a beautiful voice. He sings melodies with the children. So what are you doing to your children? You have five children. They're sitting around the table there. You're teaching them the Haggadah. Why do it yourself? Send your children across the street to someone else. They'll do a much, much better job in Vigarta Levincha. It's nonsense, right? So the question is nonsense. Why? There's something very unique about the Lel Seder. The Lel Seder is, no matter how big you are at doing it, no matter how big you are at doing it, you're the father. You got to do it yourself. You got to do it. You ever seen those commercials we used to have years ago about adopting children? They had all these funny examples like to adopt a child, you don't have to be you don't have to have a PhD in parenting.
Yeah, but like foster care.
You don't have to have a PhD in parenting. Even if you have all, even if you just you have all thumbs, like you can't do anything. Don't worry. Just being there with the child is good enough. That's what the mitzvah of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. It's not about who can do a better job. It's about you, the father. It's your job to do. Rav Soloveitchik holds when it comes to kinnus, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, it's the same thing. Don't send your kid to camp to go have a good kinnus, a good Tisha B'Av experience. You do it yourself. You ever send your kids away to camp for the Seder, the Pesach Seder? Send them to camp. They'll do a better job. It's nonsense. You do it yourself. Okay, that's not the Minig Olam. What can I tell you? That's not the Minig Olam, but that's an idea that he says. Okay, then he has another idea. It's a very popular idea. You've all heard this before. We've reviewed this idea. And this idea is that the order of Avelos leading up to Tisha B'Av is the opposite of Avelos that leads up to a personal Avelos. Rachmana litzlan, the person is and becomes an Avel, so he's sudden. It's a sudden event, and he's immediately thrust into aninus. He's exempt from all mitzvahs. He doesn't have to daven, doesn't make brachas. And then, after the kavura, then it's avelos the first day, and then there's avelos for the shiva, and then there's the shloshim, and then there's the yud beis chodesh. It gradually gets lighter and lighter and lighter. It starts out in a state of shock, and then it gets lighter and lighter. When it comes to the beis hamigdash, it's just the opposite. We start off with the 3 weeks. We come to the 9 days. We come to Shavua Shechalboi. We come to Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. The night of Tisha B'Av.
Because we're doing it before the other.
So what's the pshat of the pshat? So absolutely, this is the famous observation. Many gedolim make note of this, and they have different ways of coming to Fataych. But he there says very simply, it's the chilik between Avelis Chadosha, Avelis Yeshana. And but he says a little bit more. He's very good. He's Masbe. He explains, what does it mean, Avelos Chadasha? Avelos Chadasha is all emotion. You don't need to stimulate the mind. It's emotion. If you're a human being, you're affected by the loss of a relative. Torah doesn't need you to do anything. It's just a natural emotional process of accepting, releasing, and time heals all wounds. You go forward. When it comes to Avelis Yeshana, it's 2,000 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's almost impossible to really feel the emotion. You can wake up one day, Tisha B'Av, wow, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Wow, my heart is aching. I'm in shock. I can't daven today. I can't do anything today. I can't put on tefillin, I can't put on talis. I'm just in shock. I can't do anything. And then tomorrow, you know, I feel a little bit better. I feel a little better. And then the 30 days go a little bit better. You raise Chodesh a little bit better. It doesn't work like that. Something happened 2,000 years ago. There's no emotion. You're going to tell a person, you can't tell a person to express yourself emotionally. It's impossible. Emotion is something which is a reaction to an event that you're very familiar with. Therefore, it's intellectual. In order to reach the nothing, no emotion, chas v'shom, of course emotion, but the only way to touch, to trigger the emotion is through an intellectual process. An intellectual process requires preparation. It requires a process of hachana. You can't wake up on Tisha B'Av and cry. You got to get into it. 3 weeks, you Shavas Matamos. You get closer, intellectually, dwell upon the tragedy. Arouse, awaken your emotion. As you get closer, you can more emotion. You get closer, more emotion. Now comes the Tisha B'Av, you can open up the wellsprings of emotion. But it has to be approached intellectually. Avelis Chadosha versus Avelis Yeshana. That's why the order is done in a different way. Here's the safe. A lot of people who read about this idea in some of the books, they're just going to throw out these words. Avelis means old and new. Old and new. Rachman says a person dies, a relative dies. It's new. It's new. Yeshana means this event happened 2,000 years ago. It's old news. What are you telling me? The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? I know about that. I saw the movie. I saw the movie. I know about that. In order to feel the emotion, what?
The whole Klal Yisrael takes up.
So what? So what? It's all news. So what? It's all news. You can't expect. You can't expect the whole Klal Yisrael, the day of Tisha B'Av, all of a sudden to be in a state of shock. Yesterday we had a barbecue, And today is Tisha B'Av. Wow, the Beit was destroyed. We're in shock, we're in pain. It doesn't work like that. To get the emotion requires an intellectual approach. And the only way you have an intellectual approach is a process. You start 3 weeks in advance, you get closer and closer, you add, you focus more and more. You intensify the intellectual aspect of the event, and that you hope, you try, you work to arouse the emotion. So that's why it has to be in the opposite order. So this is the way he defines it, it's very beautiful, because he explains the observation, the mitzias, which is very obvious, and then we introduce the concepts, the terms, avelis chadosha, avelis yeshana, and then we superimpose upon that, avelis chadosha is emotion, avelis yeshana, there is no emotion, and the only way you can get emotion is only through intellectual approach, and that demands that we go in the opposite direction to prepare to get to that mitzvah. That's how you relate to this thing. Okay, we'll stop over here. May you all have a wonderful day.